21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Zoe Hieronymus.
It's all about soul. It's all about faith and a deeper devotion. It's all about soul. Cause under love is a stronger emotion. She's got.
Welcome to 21st Century Radio. I'm Dr. Zohara Hieronymus. Laura Kortner is our executive producer, and Sean Roman runs our board. Many of you know I'm a longtime cheerleader and participant of the new paradigm movement in our world, and it's always lovely to be able to share the airwaves with people and organizations that make a genuine and beneficial difference in the lives of others. The Monroe Institute is one such organization we can enthusiastically tell everyone about and know you will be enriched by an encounter with them. The Monroe Institute is dedicated to furthering the experience and exploration of consciousness, expanded awareness, and discovery of self. Executive Director and President at the Monroe Institute, Nancy McMoneagle, joins us this hour for a seasonal update on their programs and research, and as she'll explain, when Robert Monroe founded the Monroe Institute, their mission, as he described it, is to provide something of value to humanity, to quote, to help people understand all the capabilities that are available to us and to lead better and more fulfilling lives, unquote. And with that as a goal, you can't go wrong. Thank you so much for joining us, Nancy.
Well, thanks for having me, Zoe. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, you know, I like to ask people who are in this kind of work, because it's not everybody who is, how you got involved with consciousness studies and kind of this expanded awareness endeavor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I was very fortunate to have grown up with a mother who was quite psychic and who later on married this fellow by the name of Robert Monroe, who is known for his out-of-body experiences. In fact, he's written the classics in the field at this point, like Journeys Out of the Body, which is how most people find us, actually, is through his books. And so when I was about 14 years old is when I first met Bob. And he was a friend of the family's and so forth. And I thought I had met a magician. You know, this is a man who could do this weird thing going out of his body. And I found it fascinating. And he had these interesting sounds. And with these sounds, he could help you get into really deep sleep. His hope was to help us learn more quickly. And so what he did was to put a tape deck next to my bed. In those days, it was reel to reel. A lot of your listeners may not know what that is.
Right, that they even existed. We still have those.
But on that was a bunch of sounds that I listened to over headsets at night. And again, this was probably from the time I was about 14 till I was 17 or 18 years old.
Wow.
And then these sounds then later became known as hemisync, which many people have heard of. And this is an audio technology to help speed up the process, if you will, of helping people to get into targeted states of awareness or expanded states of consciousness, however you wish to look at it. So by growing up with this gentleman, now he really wasn't my stepfather until I was 19, mm-hmm. but he was like a mentor. And he also was the first boss I ever had, because when I was 14, I was helping sell television cable. He actually started the first television cable company in Charlottesville, Virginia. And he had the cable co-eds, and I was a cable co-ed, going around telling people they did not have to have antenna on their roof.
Uh-huh.
You know, and people, again, today don't recall how unsightly that was. But that was a thought that no one had ever considered before.
Yeah. And, you know? And he was also a broadcaster, right?
He was. Previous to his getting into the whole out-of-body realm, he was a vice president at RKO in New York, and he did radio shows. He produced radio shows. You've heard of some of these, like The Shadow,
yeah,
The Green Hornet, and things like that. So he's very much into sound from the outset.
And communication. Yeah, it's so
absolutely
interesting.
Absolutely. You know, and then all of a sudden, that's, you know, here he is, a strict businessman, probably drinking martinis at lunch, mm-hmm. and so on. And then all of a sudden, he starts having the out-of-bodies and thought he was going crazy. So,
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, back in those days, who could you talk to? You know, at least now we understand these are normative, actually, parts of human experience. But then, back in the 40s or even 50s, it was like you would have been a nutcase by most people's evaluation. I mean, that's an extraordinary jump, really, for
it
a person.
It truly is. And especially if you weren't brought up, he was not brought up in a religious background. His mom was a medical doctor. Now, mind you, Bob was born in 1915. So already we have a very unusual family. Mom's a medical doctor. His father was a professor of romance languages at Ohio State. And then when he was quite young, he left home and headed to New York, and with $25 in his pocket, as he used to like to tell it, you know, and made his way from there.
This was, so our last guests were Pomus, and they'd say he probably had a very strong thumb. And the first phalange for phalange right at the top was probably very big, because those are self-made people. See, I learned something. So when Bob started this work and you were exposed to it as a youngster, you know, what happened when your girlfriends or somebody came and slept over and saw these big reel-to-reels? I mean, how do people around you react to this kind of lifestyle?
Well, they probably... Well, I think they thought I was interesting, maybe strange, but fun. And in fact, I had one of my most incredible experiences once when Bob basically hypnotized me. He took me down through, you know, saying numbers from 1 down on to 10 and 20 and so forth, getting me deeply relaxed to the point where he regressed me and I ended up having a peak experience. And so forth. That was my 15th birthday present.
That's beautiful. What a beautiful gift.
It was. And after that, I thought, what a cool thing. I'll hypnotize my friends.
Why not?
And so, of course, when my parents found out about, or mom, again, he wasn't my dad at the time.
Right.
My father was a Marine Corps officer.
Oh, my gosh.
And a very religious gentleman and wonderful man. And so, anyway, when mom and he found out I was hypnotizing people, they weren't very pleased, nor was Bob.
Well, you know, I just want to add, I was taught how to do hypnosis when I was 15 at a summer camp from a very famous doctor whose name I won't mention because I don't want to get his relatives or anybody in trouble. And we all started hypnotizing each other, you know, while we were in the bunk. And one of the girls kind of got stuck at the age of 10 and we couldn't get her out. And we thought, oh, my God, what are we going to tell the counselors and the owner of the camp? This kid's going to have to go home and she's no longer 15 or whatever. She's 10 years old. Anyway, it's very interesting for those of us who have always had these kind of exposures or other kinds of consciousness interests. And that's the beautiful thing about the Monroe Institute. So when people come, talk to us a bit about some of the programs you offer, particularly to somebody in the audience who's saying, well, look, I'm retired. I've always been a little intuitive, but I always had to sort of pull weight for the household, et cetera. And now I'm kind of interested in doing this stuff. What would it be like for me and what would I learn?
Well, that's a nice question and a very good one, because what we offer is something that Bob designed many years ago. And of course, over the years, we've added various programs into the whole curriculum. But the first one, and again, this is heavy with Bob's imprint on it, it's called the Gateway Voyage. And the whole idea is to give people a gateway into these other states of consciousness so that they can go deeper than they ever have before, to understand more about themselves, to understand more about reality, to understand more of what's available to them, and it expands your whole overview. People typically, when they come here, and basically what it is, people will come and listen to various exercises with the HemiSync audio technology. The idea of that is short for hemispheric synchronization, and we're trying to get a whole brain activity going here. We are synchronizing the left and right hemispheres of the brain. And what people have found is they are able to get into deep meditative states far more quickly than ever before, even advanced meditators. We had a monk come here once who said, my gosh, what you do here is what it takes 25 years for other people to learn to do. Mm-hmm. By the way, there was a Wall Street Journal article, front page, that had his quote on it years back. And so, as you might imagine, that brought a lot of interested people here, because we don't tell people how it is. We let you go explore for yourselves. So you take a retired person, for example, says, well, what's next? Well, what's next, excuse me, might be more within than trying to figure out what you should be doing on the outside, so mm-hmm. to speak.
That is presumably what we're supposed to be doing when we
get older.
Exactly, is finally have that time to sort of know thyself and then share that wisdom just in your daily life everywhere.
Exactly. And so Bob's big thing was, I will give you the tools. And so what we have is not only the audio technology, but very carefully guided exercises. Then after people have the experience, and when they come here to our institute here in Central Virginia, we're about 40 minutes southwest of Charlottesville, Virginia, and they come and they have their own little CHECK unit. Bob was really big into acronyms. CHECK stands for Controlled Holistic Environmental Chamber. And so if you've ever been to Monticello and seen Thomas Jefferson's bed,
right.
And it's kind of like in an alcove. Well, that's pretty much what we have here. And inside that room, the idea is to deprive the senses as much as possible. You have your headset. You have various lighting that you can put on, whatever makes you comfortable. Then you listen to the program, and then afterwards everyone joins down in our what we call the white carpet room, very nice, warm, comfy place, and shares what they've been through. Or not. You don't have to share if you don't want to. What happens is people end up getting a sense of family because you're with like-minded people. It's a safe place to explore this kind of thing. Because, though, even though we know it's a lot better now than it used to be back in the 50s, 60s, 70s,
right.
There's still a lot of people who don't want to breathe the words out of body,
mm-hmm.
or guidance, or, you know, any of this kind. Even the word meditation sets some people off, believe it or not. Still.
Right.
So this is a safe place to go, you know, I saw my dead grandmother, and so forth. And so we have a lot of people who come because they are trying to resolve the understanding about having lost someone dear to them. And we don't promise that you're going to see this person. It does happen. We don't promise people that they will have an out-of-body experience. It does happen. But people typically have some kind of an extraordinary experience here, depending on who and what they are, what they're after. So it's for me, it almost brings tears to your eyes when you watch these people, because, again, there's no dogma here. We do not take a religious approach. We don't even take a spiritual approach, but interestingly, people have incredibly spiritual experiences. Bob just tried to shy away from the S word, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's beautiful because it's experiential, and it really follows the greatest of the Hermetic teachings, which is, you know, to know thyself, meaning
right.
You need to experience these states of awareness to be able to access them and use them both in your own life and for helping others. So, you know, the ability to go out of your body isn't just for the fun of it.
Exactly.
At some point, you can do that and actually retrieve information or help a lost soul or a lost animal. I mean, the beautiful thing to me, anyway, as a person who's been practicing many of these things for many years, not specifically what the Monroe Institute does, because I've not been there, but at some point I keep saying I'm going to bring my grown daughters, and this is going to be their birthday present. They don't know it yet. Shh, don't tell them.
Oh. And that would be a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to bring three of them together, and I thought, God, that wouldn't that be a great mother-daughter trip?
It would.
I think so. So that's a residential program, the Gateway Voyage, and we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about some of the other things you all do. And I'd also like to encourage our audience to visit your website, www.monroeinstitute.org. That's monroeinstitute.org, because they do a great deal of research, and there's wonderful links that you can click on to, as well as articles, to get an understanding of lots of things. And when we come back, our guest, Nancy McMoneagle, their executive director and president, will tell us about some of their other programs and how you can access some of these resources on your own.
listening to 21st Century Radio with Zohara Hieronymus. This is Stefan Schwartz. I have just had a wonderful conversation, one of the many conversations that you will hear on Zohara's program, one of the most conscious radio programs in the United States. We've discussed my new book, The 8 Laws of Change, How You Can Be an Agent of Personal and Social Transformation. You can follow my work at www.schwartzreport.net or catch the book on Amazon.
The 8 Laws of Change, as our guest Stefan Schwartz just promoted. If you all really want to appreciate how we can collectively change the world and what values do it, this is the best book I have read probably since Footsteps of Gandhi, and the Footsteps of Gandhi by Catherine Ingram 30 years ago or so. But check it out. 8 Laws of Change. He shows how the qualities and approaches that Quakers have used for social change over the decades are 8 principles that if any of us use, we will see positive change in the world in a way that is lasting. And one of them is to eschew violence, that there's nonviolence, and to agree to have no ego, and that things will go on beyond our lifetime. And anyway, it's very exciting. Our guest currently, if you're just joining us, is Nancy McMoneagle. Nancy is Executive Director and President at the Monroe Institute, furthering the experience and exploration of consciousness, expanded awareness, and discovery of self. www.monroe, M-O-N-R-O-E, institute.org. So briefly, Nancy, we talked a little bit about the Gateway Voyage, which is a residential program. You also have something called two-day excursion workshops, and those are off-campus.
Yes, they're part of our outreach program. One of the things Bob wanted to do was to make sure that all of this technology and the processes could get out to as many people as possible. His whole feeling was if he could help people not have to go through the fear that he went through with his out-of-body experiences first time around, then he would have written his book for a good purpose. So we have this outreach program, and the trainers come here and get trained. Then they go back to their communities, and we have these in about 30 countries across the world, about 111 trainers now, and they're trained the excursion programs, which are like a mini gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes over the weekend. It gives people a good taste of again, getting into these gateways of consciousness. And they have very solid experiences even in just the weekend as well. And in fact, right now we're working on some advanced excursion programs that we will be offering. So we have those. We have other weekend programs in addition to those, like the medical intuition program. That's also a 6-day program if people are interested in using this energy that we often reference, but we don't know exactly how to measure it yet, mm-hmm. as vital energy or chi or whatever. In a healing way. Another 3-day workshop we have is Bill Buhlmann. If you've heard of William Buhlmann.
He's joined us over the years.
Yes, he is a fascinating guy. And in fact, his out-of-body exploration intensive is a very popular program here. But I don't know if you knew that he and his wife also offered a program called Destination Higher Self. And that has to do with helping people understand more about this transition of consciousness that we call death. And so his wife, Susan, is a doula and has had a lot of experience in helping people cross over with hospice and so forth. And so they have a marvelous program. So we cover all manner of different topics depending on one's interest.
How lovely. Medical intuition. That is so unusual to be offering that as an opportunity for an average person, because even an intuitive to get well-trained is very difficult.
Well, yeah, this one is offered by a medical doctor, Larry Burke, and medical intuitive Winter Robinson. And Winter actually used to work with a medical doctor. They were doing research years back. She was one of our trainers here, also of our programs, many years ago when I was the director the first time around back in the 80s. Uh-huh. I hired Winter back then.
Okay,
yes, I keep bouncing back here. It's an interesting thing. I was working with my husband for a while in our company, Intuitive Intelligence Applications. And in fact, my husband, Joe McMonagle, trains the remote viewing course here.
Yeah, Joe's been on our program numerous times.
Uh-huh. I thought maybe he had. And do you know who else was? If I'm not mistaken, I think Bob Monroe had an interview with your Bob.
Yep.
Back in the 80s.
Yep.
Way early when y'all were just getting started.
That is when we got started in 1980. No, it's interesting. You know, it's like I joke, we've all gone gray together or found Clairol or gone bald in many of the men's cases, and they found toupees or hats or something. But it's such a, I mean, some people have asked me, well, what's it been like to be so weird your whole life? And I go, well, we're not weird anymore. It's kind of like culture has caught up, and my weird is more weird, but we don't talk about the weird or weird. The fringe of the fringe, as I say. So you also do this program about, well, I want to step back for a moment. Do you mind to out-of-body experience? Because I'm sure there's some people, as many shows as we've done and as many times as we've talked about, there are some people who've probably had such a thing and they don't know that's what it's called, and others who are wondering, can you explain to me what actually that is?
Well, to the best of our knowledge, you know, we don't. Actually, there are many different definitions for it, but the experience is that you have total and complete awareness while your body is one place and your sense of perception, you know that you are somewhere else. And the difference between that, for example, and a lucid dream, because that question is often asked, well,
right.
How do you know it's not just a dream, a lucid dream? You can change a lucid dream. But when you're out of body, you cannot change what it is you're looking at.
Right. So people probably have read stories about somebody under anesthesia or
mm-hmm.
anesthetic surgery of some sort, and they see their body being operated on, or people in near-death experience will say, oh, yeah, I was in the car crash, and then I saw all these people taking care of my body, and
exactly.
I just couldn't believe that it was my body that all these things were being done to. But the average, I mean, there are times where people have been sitting somewhere, and all of a sudden, they're at the top of the grocery store looking down at everybody in line, including themselves.
Right. And that can be very frightening to people.
Yeah.
I know that when it first happened to my stepfather, for example, which is why he wrote the book,
uh-huh.
the first book, Journeys Out of the Body, he thought he had died.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's your body, but then you, the real you, is elsewhere. And so what people learn is, and for any of your listeners out there who may have had this experience, if ever you find yourself apart from your body, all you have to do is think of returning to your body or move your little finger, for example, or wiggle your toe, and that usually will get you right back. You know, it's a very simple technique. And what's really cool is then if you want to go explore it, and this is what Bob did, Monroe, started, you know, going here and there and checking out people's places and mm-hmm. going around the earth, but then he got bored. He called it local traffic. You know, how often can you go from here to California without getting bored? And one thing about Bob, he was some kind of curious, and he was an explorer. And that's what we promote here, is for people to be explorers. Go explore what is available to you.
I mean, in some cultures, you know, it's interesting how In the scientific literature now, we call this out-of-body experience, but in Western mystery esoterica, it used to be called astral projection.
That's right. That's the old term.
Mm-hmm. Right, where you would say, and in the mystic literature of the Rebbes and of shamans, this is very common. Shamans do it all the time,
yep.
of going out of their body, sometimes projecting into an animal body and the animal, and they share then the work that they have to do. Or I remember reading stories of the Baal Shem Tov and others, mystical Jewish people, who they would say, yeah, the Rebbe's body was in Liadi, and yet everybody saw him in France. You know, so it's where people can see. I mean, that's an interesting phenomenon. Let me ask you that. There is a difference between having the experience yourself and somebody else actually seeing you having that experience outside of your body.
Right.
Do you all talk about that? Because
that
people practice
happened.
It.
That has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And do we have an explanation? No, we do not. I mean, we just say, yep, that's interesting. Who mm-hmm. would like to pick this up and go research it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really interesting, too, because as we look at now, so do you get an EEG? Do you try to measure the brain waves? Is that really where it's going on? And Bob used to say, you know, sometimes I think that measuring the brain waves of somebody, because he, of course, was wired up a number of times.
Right.
Is like measuring the exhaust on the car to find out how it works.
Uh-huh.
And I always thought that was a beautiful metaphor.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very true. But you all do beautiful research. I mean, it's not like you're not doing that kind of thing. So when we come back, though, to some of the programs, because I want to be sure we touch on most of them, you also have something online.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Yes, our Gateway Experience. Again, it's the six albums. It's 36 exercises, again, based on the Gateway program. For those people who couldn't get here, you know, for whatever reason, or who prefer to do it from home. And so they're able to do it from the comfort of their home if they want. That's our first online course, and we will be offering more.
And describe to us for a moment how the online courses work, because they're not all the same around the world. Some you can download it and do it whenever you want. Some you have to show up at a certain time because the instructor's there with you.
Well, you can get it in different ways. The actual course does have the instructor, and there are different startup times for them and so forth, and you can find that out on the website, because, of course, I don't have all those times in my head.
Oh, for sure.
not tonight, anyway.
Gee, I don't know why. Why don't you know all those things, Nancy?
Yeah, really. Go to
Monroe, M-O-N-R-O-E, Institute.org, and you can see it's Waves 1 and 2. Is that what that is?
Well, there's actually waves 1 through 6, and a wave
oh, okay.
is another word for an album. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I love the way you all frame these things. And
that's Bob for you. He started it.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the ocean, you know, the powerful nature of the ocean and the changing nature. He was really big into change. Bob's thing was change or die.
Mm-hmm.
Nice poetic little thing.
Well, it is, in fact, what happens.
Truly.
And so when you look then overall at what you've done, and you've then been involved in this work in one way or another since your teens, how has it changed from your vantage point, Nancy, when you see the people who come, when you see the kinds of publications going on in the world, and the kinds of questions now quantum physics has allowed psychologists and psychiatrists and others to ask?
Well, it's interesting because now that there is so much more interest and across many different disciplines, and it's rather fun for me to watch everybody's got the answers, though, didn't you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this theory, or it's that, or mm-hmm. here's how you should define that, or this is what's appropriate, or this is really the way it must be. And so I just watch with interest, and I'm sure Bob would as well. Bob was always 10 years ahead of himself anyway,
mm-hmm.
so he would already have virtual reality. That would be a passe thing for him by this point, you understand?
Right.
But watching, I think what's so lovely to me is that there is more of an openness. In the old days, because Bob was such an engineer-type brain, the people who were attracted, believe it or not, were mainly men. I'd say at least 50, 60, 70%. Whereas, if you recall back in the old days, so I'm sure you'll remember this, usually people interested in psychic stuff were women.
Right.
But because of the way it's been framed, and that's always kind of been the case, I noticed this, for example, with Tom Campbell, who wrote My Big Toe. I don't know if you've had him on your show yet. He's
No.
a fascinating guy, and he was in the early days of the Institute and involved with Hemisync and so forth. But he had a couple of programs here last year, and I would say they were 80% men, and the men just looked at him in awe, and I got rather tickled because in one case we had 19 men and 4 women, and the guys were, it was like a bromance.
Hmm.
You know, I was, and it's because of how it was framed. It was framed in a way they could understand. And these were mainly engineers,
uh-huh.
mathematicians, physicists, You
it's
see?
Interesting. Well, you know, it's very methodical. It's very planned. There really aren't risks. And I think that's why Dr. Bob and I have always been so enthusiastic about promoting the Monroe Institute. And truthfully, I mean, this is the honest truth. When somebody asks me, where can I go to learn? I always say the Monroe Institute, because there's a safety factor you mentioned before. But I think it's very important to stress, because there are so many people and so many frauds, I have to say, out there selling their wares for not a little bit of money either, sometimes thousands of dollars to get a certificate in this or that. I like to say to people, boy, you better check out who trained them. It's not enough to just say, well, I can do this and I can do that, but did they have a mentor? Were they trained? Have they practiced? Have they had other students? Or are you just sort of somebody lining up to give them your cash because you're naive or you don't have enough experience, you want to get it? It's very important where we start. And so the Monroe Institute, the beautiful thing for me about it and the thing that's so trustworthy is that anybody who goes through your program has a really solid foundation for their own personal exploration. And that's the beauty, truthfully, of what you all have accomplished.
Yeah, you've put it together quite nicely there, and I thank you so for saying it, because that is something we have strived for all these years, is, again, to keep it in a way that you can use it. It's not going to send you out there saying, oh, I see your purple aura, and now you can be called so-and-so with, I don't mean to be putting that down, because sometimes there's something to that. But instead, okay, so fine, you got a purple aura. Now, how can you use that?
Right.
How can you make your life better and make the lives of other people better with that? Not just, well, I am spiritually superior because I have a purple aura. So, you know, yeah, we tend to take it, and it can also, now that said, it can also be an incredibly metaphysical experience where you are touching and getting in touch with and feeling one with all that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, you know, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here. It's both very pragmatic and quite mystical all at the same time.
Well, people have said to me sometimes, why do you laugh so much about the things that you talk about? And the truth is that for any of us who have sort of spent the last 30 or 40 years mm-hmm. in these fields, the New Age sort of paradigm did go through a real phase that was a little wishy-washy for some of our tastes and a little suspect when people would claim, oh, I was Cleopatra, meaning they'd say, oh, I was Cleopatra. And somebody else would say, I was King Tutankhamun, and nobody mm-hmm. was ever a commoner, you know, who swept the pyramid stones or who sludged the sewage out of the streets. It was always...
I remember that one well, yeah.
Oh, my God. We once had somebody come to our house, look at my husband's ring from Egypt, which actually has the seal of Tutankhamun on it, and say that it was his from another life.
That's cute. I want to know how he manifested that.
So we're not really trying to be, what's the right word, unkind about it. But it is important to laugh at yourself and how things have changed, because it really has become much more of a, researched process. You know, when we started and people were using hallucinogens, which mm-hmm. native traditions have done for thousands and thousands of years for these kinds of odysseys of journeying into inner space or multidimensionality, let's put it that way. When it was introduced into this country, there was no spiritual guidance. So people went crazy. People had bad experiences. Right. People didn't know what was happening. And I have to say the same thing with some of these other things of out-of-body travel. You want good guides, you know, journeying to another planet in your consciousness. You want to be taught first how to journey to the grocery store from your house in your mind first.
Take
the baby steps first. And I think that's very important to say, because people promise students and, you know, people who pay for programs a lot of things, like you're going to be a magician, you're going to have divine revelation, you're going to see your past life, you're going to know your destiny. Well, you know, if it all happens that fast, watch out, because that's called a blowout. You know, when too much happens at once, it can really be psychically dangerous and and unraveling. And I've said that to people, young or old. I mean, more so for when you're young, less so for when you're an older person with a lot of life under your belt. But still, it's very important to have proper training. So we're going to take our last break of the night, and then we'll come back to some of the other things that the wonderful Monroe Institute does. Go to www.monroeinstitute.org.
This is Dr. Matthew McKay, author of Seeking Jordan. You can learn more about the book at seekingjordan.com. And you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Zahara Hieronymus.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. Lovely book about a man who lost his son and through that process ended up meeting his son from the other side, and they co-authored this book together. And he learned a great deal about what life is after we cast off our bodies and how close we remain. Our guest this hour is Nancy McMoneagle. Nancy is Executive Director and President at the Monroe Institute. Learn more at their website about all their programs and how you can benefit by them at www.monroeinstitute.org. We talked a little bit, Nancy, a little earlier about some of your programs. You have 5-day and 6-day programs. You have weekend programs. You have online programs. What are some of the areas that we haven't covered that you all explore?
Well, let's see. We actually didn't get into the timeline program very much. Now, we were just talking about past lives, for example. And the timeline program has been very popular with a number of people, not just because there can be the experience of, quote-unquote, who you used to be. In my particular belief system, and I do say belief, this is not what I know, it's what I believe, time is probably simultaneous.
Mm-hmm.
So who or whatever I was, I probably am still. It's just currently I'm focused on being Nancy McMoneagle. But what people do when they come here...
Before you pass that, this is a thought. I think about this issue a lot, this very particular thing of simultaneity of multi-dimensions.
Right.
And that there is no such thing as time other than the time we invent. And but people, you know, when you talk about this issue with other interested folks and we say, well, yeah, if it's all happening simultaneously, does that mean that your experience of yourself or mine, as an example, as a Native American Indian, is happening right now in another dimension? And I'm recalling it as a past life in, let's say, the 1700s or something, but the 1700s isn't back then, it's right now?
Well, see, here's why I put past lives in quotation marks.
Okay.
Because if we look at consciousness as being this great, I mean, heck, we can't even decide how to define it, right? It's
right.
A huge essence. It's a fundamental. And so if past lives are other aspects of your consciousness, then you could key into whichever one at whatever time. You see, one thing we never hear about is future self, for example.
Right, right.
So I'd like to hear someone say, well, I don't know about my past self, but my future self is having a ball.
I actually have seen one of my future experiences. So from your vantage point, when you look at this very, I love this topic, and I rarely get to talk about it on the air with anybody because some people go, wait, we can't keep up. All right, so let's say to everybody in the listening audience that you feel at another time in your life you lived in another culture in another part of the world and you were a great musician and this life you're not. You ride horses or something.
Mm-hmm.
From your vantage point, we are still that musician we could tap into if we focused on it because that's still happening simultaneously as we're being the horse person.
In my particular belief system, I think if you have that ability to be able to so fully tap into that particular life or that aspect of consciousness, then yes, I think there might be some translation of the talent, which is, I think, what you're referencing.
Right,
here.
Exactly.
And
because there are people that I've had on the show who say you can be all those things this life, Mm-hmm. And any talent you think you've had because of, quote unquote, a former life is not really former. It's just an aspect of your soul that you're not working on right now.
See, I would happen to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this interesting theory that, well, if you go back far enough in our ancestry, it's actually one of these days we're going to break it in the genetic code.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's cellular.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me. I think also, let's say you have an aspect of consciousness or quote-unquote past life, which was really tough, and you notice that there's some things in this particular reality, this particular personality, that may reflect that. What our program here, it's called the Timeline Program, is designed to do is to help you heal and release that difficult past so that you can open up.
Or concurrence, because it's not really past.
So
it's concurrence. To
yeah,
release
you can drive
this concurrence.
Nuts, though, you know that.
Yeah. Well, I've thought
the
about
past,
this.
Quote unquote.
I know. I've thought about this relative to war. I mean, my experience is that the act of forgiveness changes the impact of what we call something from the past. But if it's simultaneous, then the notion of history is itself an invention.
Yes, and then to make it even more interesting, if you bring back, remember Jane Roberts' books and Seth?
Yeah.
And then the probable selves. Then it gets really interesting, but we really don't want to go there right now.
All right. Well, in any event, I'm glad you think about these things, but because that is what happens. You know, after you, it's like Bob Monroe, you're right. He would probably, this is what he'd be looking at, is this concurrent multidimensionality, which is what the Kabbalists have always said,
mm-hmm.
is we live in a minimum of 10 dimensions
simultaneously. Oh, I wonder how they came up with that number. I find that interesting.
From the Tree of Life. Because
see, I would
the
like to study
Sephiroth.
That. You've got a lot of knowledge there. You've obviously studied that.
I have, and written about it, so you and I can have a nice conversation.
So, yes.
So the timeline helps a person heal, and you also have something called Lifeline.
Yes. Now, Lifeline that's a little bit more esoteric type of program as well. Now, Lifeline has to do with going into these other states of consciousness and then helping other people who may not know that they have passed on, we would call that dead,
mm-hmm.
and helping them become aware and helping them cross over into another state of awareness.
What a beautiful thing
to teach. So it's providing a great service.
Yeah, yeah, that's a beautiful thing to teach.
So, you know, they call it, you know, you might call it rescue and retrieval,
right,
for
right.
example.
Again, and, another thing shamans do, that's what they do with their helper animals, is help people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so there's a whole system built around this where you're getting into these different states of consciousness. Bob was real interesting. What he did is he called them different states of focus. So focus 10, and he gave them numbers. 10 was body relaxed, body asleep, mind awake. Focus 12, state of expanded awareness. Focus 15, state of no time, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these foci, various foci, and you get into deeper and deeper ones. And so when you go to what we call Focus 27, that's where you're helping get into this area where perhaps there are some people who have departed who may or may not know that,
mm-hmm.
that they're no longer in their physical body.
Right.
So.
And traditionally it said, you know, when a lot of people die simultaneously, whether it's a bombing or an
mm-hmm.
accident or a car crash or, you know, many, a
right.
train derailment, that can sometimes happen. So many people at the same time meeting each other, they don't even know that they're dead as a group.
Exactly. Exactly right. So you help retrieve these lost parts. And it might even be part of yourself,
mm-hmm.
by the way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And again, it gets rather complex, but it's a fascinating experience. And not only that, some people actually get the story of someone. There was a whole thing done on A&E. There was a double show done on this. Of course, I can't think of the name of it right now.
That's all right.
But where one of the participants started describing this guy who had died. He was from Ohio, and he had this, that, and the other. The film crew actually went and checked it out, and everything checked out about this man.
Mm-hmm.
She had no knowledge of this. She's
mm-hmm.
a very good psychic, by the way. So that's another type of program that we offer here, as well as a program to help you get in touch with your guides, what Bob used to call the inner self helper, or ISH. I told you he liked the acronyms. But the remote viewing program. Remote viewing, for people who don't know, is about learning to be psychic under very strict scientific protocols.
Right.
And that's where my husband, Joe, who is probably the best remote viewer, frankly, on the earth, and I'm not saying that because I'm proud of him, but he is.
Yeah.
And so we teach people.
He's a wonderful teacher at it.
He is. He's a very good teacher, and there's no prerequisite. Many of our programs you have to go to the Gateway Voyage for, but some of these you do not, like the remote viewing program, for example.
Well, you know, there's so much we haven't touched on. I'm glad we got to play a little and look at some of these sort of further out thoughts, because they're not really out there. They're very ancient. And that's, I think, the part that interests me so much about what has happened with the new paradigm. For 30 or 40 years, everybody was exploring without necessarily grounding it in traditional practice. You know, people have said, well, they want to do all of them. And you can try all of them, but at some point you need something that's your sort of your axis to grab to. And that's what I love about the Monroe Institute. It gives you the tools so that you can do all of this safely. And if you share it with others, you can help them as well. We have about a minute left. What else would you like to share with us?
Oh, my. Well, all I can say is that I think it's really important that people find out for themselves, that they open up, if they can, to other possibilities they never considered before. And whether it's our system or some other that helps them do that, that's what will really enhance their understanding of who they are, why they're here, what they can do. To give meaning, a lot of people, we need that right now. There's a lot of stress happening at this moment.
No question about it. And the more we can all increase our non-local consciousness,
exactly,
the better we're going to feel about the pace of change and what we see in the world. And we know it goes beyond this focus of this life expression. There, how's that? That's a new way to put it. Thank you, Nancy. Again,
well, thank
go to you're welcome. Go to www.monroe, M-O-N-R-O-E, institute.org.
Stimulating talk and breaking news on Talk Radio 680 WCBM Baltimore and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lucera, 29.